Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah, I'm still there, y'all.
Better than nodding rings. That's why we're here to sing football. Sunday in the snow, referees whistle blows. Weekend warriors toe to toe. Football.
So old timers, do you remember the names like Bronco McGurkey and Night Train Lane, Bulldog Turner, my man Sam Huff? In the snow and the mud, they were still real tough. Crazy Leg Church, and remember Raymond Berry asked me if they hit hard, and I say Perry, Paul, Christian, Buddy, Young Lady Moore, it's them I adore, they seem to always score, Ed Sprinkle, defensive end for those years, Gene Big Daddy Liston was a man to fear, you have Steve Van Buren, and Otto Graham, Johnny United had the arm of a Superman, we had Charlie Trippi, and Gino Marquette, if you're searching for a champion, they're your best bet, which I could quarterback, like Johnny Lou Jack, or even Sid Luffin, as a matter of fact, do you remember Red Brains, the Gallop?
Hey, 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 welcome to the CMT Firestorm Football Talk Show. We are live from the CMT Firestorm Studios in Tampa, Florida. I'm your host, Carson Mathis, where the theme of the show is to give raw, uncut, unedited, objective analysis on major college and pro football. Let me introduce the panel. Callie Mike, what's up?
Hey, what's going on, everybody? Big week coming up, Super Bowl weekend. Let's get it going.
Absolutely. What's up, Tex? What's good?
Going on, man. Get right into it.
All right, man. Shottown, what's good?
What's going on, everybody? Super Bowl week. That time of the year, baby. The biggest
right.
game party is the Super Bowl, man. Let's get it.
All right, man. Well, definitely. Hey, we're going to be here for the next 2 hours, so if you want to call in, the number is 347-237-5539. First and foremost, let's get into a few this college issue that's going on right now with Alabama and the guy with linked to performance-enhancing drugs. Do you have any opinion on the whole situation with Alabama?
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's like I said before about this performance-enhancing drug in football thing. It's not just Alabama, even though I would like it to be. But it's not just them, like I say. I mean, you know, people have been turning a blind eye to football for the past couple of years, but, you know, when you start getting guys that are bigger and faster, and that's never happened before, you know, something's going on. You know, it's like, you know, everybody closes while it's happening because it's making money and it's good. You know, just like with Lance Armstrong, you know, nobody wanted to acknowledge, hey, how's this guy winning 7 quarterbacks in a row? It's never been done before. But, you know, I think once college football, maybe if it does start losing its popularity and people start digging into it more, they're going to find out more of these cases. I mean, it's not natural, you know.
All right. Text, shout out, y'all got an opinion on this?
I've briefly heard about the story. I know the Alabama Athletic Department has rebuked it. They said that they've run into these guys about 2 or 3 times, and each time they try, they make things to distance themselves from them. So they're denying any involvement with whoever these people are. That's the only thing I know about this whole thing. I mean, nothing's been proven. I mean, who's testing positive? I haven't heard about anybody testing positive from Alabama for any feds. So, I mean, right now there's nothing there.
Okay.
Well, I was going to say, there's something new. When did this story come about? You talking about the Oliver Ross guy? What you talking about?
There's a linkage with the Ray Lewis guy. He's linked to Alabama too. That he was giving some of the players performance enhancing drugs. That came out today.
Yeah, I was saying something about that. Like Kelly Mike made a good point about, you know, guys, you know, something with the enhancement has something. So, you know, for, you know, these injuries. So, you know, these supplements, they taking something, you know, to get back because to getting back that fast, you know, having injuries. So nothing really much surprised me on anything. But I mean, really, until you've proven that you have used it or something, really, this kind of topic kind of like, okay, until we hear more evidence and facts.
Okay. Well, let's just go ahead and get into some NFL here. There's been sort of a small controversy. Randy Moss, he came out with a statement saying that he's the greatest receiver of all time. Jerry Rice responded and said he wishes him well, but you know he has the stats and the rings to show for it. Randy Moss responded by saying he still, you know, sticks by his statement. So my question is, do you think Randy Moss has a point by him saying that he's the greatest of all time, or is that just blasphemous? Let me start with you, Cali Mike. What do you think?
Well, I look at it like this. I'm going to give you my honest opinion. You know, Jerry Rice, that's my boy or whatever, but, you know, when it comes down to it, you really can't just look at that and ring. We're getting a really bad feedback, too, a lot of echo. But
okay.
You really just can't look at stats and rings because, I mean, if that's the case, Emmitt Smith is the greatest running back of all time. You know, and he's, you know, while he's a good running back, people rarely mention him as the greatest. You know, Randy Moss, I mean, if you look at his body of work, he changed the prototype of what wide receivers look, you know, what wide receivers are looking like. He brought the game to more of a vertical level. You know, once he came in, you know, everybody wanted to pick five, you know, a fast guy. Now you start, like I said, you start getting a lot more, you know, a lot more guys that might have been playing basketball turning to football now because they, you know, because they can jump, you know, jumping, you know, and you can throw a lot of fast, you know, and. But, you know, when you talk about the great, I mean, there's so many different wide receivers that, you know, it's like I say, you know, you look at Jerry Rice, he had the perfect storm. He was in a West Coast offense, which is, you know, a pass-friendly offense, and he had, you know, Joe Montana and Steve Young, and that's nothing to take away from Rice, but, you know, like I say, I've watched this, you know, I'm a fan, so I watch his career very closely, but I'm also a fan of you know, of Tim Brown, and you know, and for Tim Brown's career, he had Jay Schrader and Jeff Hostetler throwing him the ball. So, you know, I mean, who's to say? I mean, it's tough to really to say. So, you know, I mean, I look at it like, you know, I look at it more of what suits your offense, you know, and in what case you're talking. I mean, I could definitely say they're both, you know, if you go by stats and what they've done, I mean, you can't knock Rice, you know. But I mean, some people, you know, if it's just an offense, they're gonna take, you know, they're gonna take Randy Moss.
All right. So let me get your opinion on this, Tex. What's your take on this? And then we'll get to you, Cali. Mommy, shut down.
Well, if he didn't come out and he didn't say he was the best wide receiver ever, then, you know, then he would probably be fake, or he wouldn't be Randy Moss. Moss was a transcendent type player. I don't think you can say that for any other wide receiver in the game that has ever played the game. Besides Bob Hayes or Calvin Johnson.
You can't even say that about T.O.? You don't think T.O. was a trans...
A faster, stronger version of Jerry Rice.
I thought T.O. was the original first big receiver. And then T.O. paved the way for Calvin Johnson. That's what I'm saying. I don't know. Or Larry Fitzgerald.
I'm just talking about being a transcendent type player, a guy that, I mean, just changes the mold of the wide receiver. Owens was, but Moss was just, I mean, but folks, you know, I don't know if people understand how great Moss was. You always get the backlash to him, like, oh, he didn't work that hard. He quit. He didn't play every down. And I'm thinking, like, well, second in touchdowns, third in yards. It's like, what the heck do you want the guy to do? It's like, how great did you want him to be? It's just people.
And only 10 full seasons, too.
And there you go.
Not having no Hall of Fame quarterback.
Now, I have to, if I'm saying the greatest ever, I probably just have to go with Jerry Rice due to longevity and level of productivity and the rings. That's the main thing. But I mean, you know, I'm not mad that Ma says he's the best ever. You can say it can certainly be debated, you know. But I have to say Rice. I mean, Moss is just—he's probably in a class all by himself, and Terrell Owens is right there. But you know, Moss and Owens will never ever get the proper respect that they do. They'll never ever get
that. Very true.
All right, what's your take on this, Chi-Town?
I'm surprised, Kelly Mike. I'm surprised you didn't respond to my post where I put that about Randy Moss not having a problem. I know Kazil, I seen you post it. But really, you know, like I was saying, like Kelly Mike was saying, you can't really judge. You can't judge always about numbers. And I got a good friend and favorite caller, Tony Wiley, says, I don't care about stats. I care about his debut. I mean, Randy Moss, like Tech said, he came to the league just, he's one of those transcendent players who just came in and took the league by surprise. Like, man, no one ever seen a guy like, you know, Randy Moss come in with his build, you know, his size being 6'4", just, man, he was just, like I was saying on the Facebook status yesterday, he was like one of those one-of-a-kind players, man. I mean, he definitely changed how defensive scheme on receivers, how you play. You know, I kind of agree what Tech's saying about maybe longevity of looking at Jerry, but you got to look at physical gifts and ability. Randy Moss is the top of everybody. You know, and like I said, like Calvin Mike was saying, I mean, Jerry Rice was on some better teams than Randy Moss, so we can't judge Randy Moss. Randy Moss was on some okay teams, good teams, but Jerry Rice was on already a team that when he came in the league in 85, they already won, you know, two Super Bowls already, 81 and 84. So he already came into a good team anyway that had Hall of Famers on both sides of the ball. So really, that's not really fair to, you know, to judge Randy Moss on that, because how many Hall of Famers are going to be going with Randy Moss into the Hall of Fame compared to Jerry Rice? And Jerry Rice has two Hall of Fame quarterbacks, Joe Montana and Steve Young. Maybe Rich Gannon, too, being three. That's, you know, possibly could be a
Rich Gannon? What the heck? All right, whatever.
He's a possibility, man, you know, down the road. Says and we see what happens. But I'm just saying, I mean, what quarterback? Other than, you know, Moss had Tom Brady for a short time, but he wasn't there that long. But that's it. Dante Culpepper, is he a Hall of Famer? I mean, if he didn't have that injury, the way it was going, it was a possibility, but you know, that's debatable right there.
Well, this is my thing. I think I'll give Rice a slight edge only because the numbers, and then you can say he's a little bit more of a complete receiver, I guess. But I don't blame Randy Moss for saying what he said, man. I mean, I think he has a point. I mean, and I think the way Rice reacted to what he said, I think that Rice thinks he has a point, too. You know, because Rice came off kind of like bitter, you know, and I think it has something to do with, you know, when Moss came in the league, everybody was still on Jerry Rice right before Moss came in the league in terms of being the best receiver. And then when his first year in the league, people were going out saying he's already the best receiver in the league. So I think there's some resentment from Jerry Rice from that standpoint. I mean, in my top five, I would say Moss is number two. Jerry Rice, number one, Moss is number two. I'm going to put T.O. I think T.O. was a transcendent player. I mean, I think he was Calvin Johnson. Calvin Johnson was T.O. Jr., basically. You know, he's just a bigger, maybe a little bit faster, bigger, faster version of T.O. But I think Calvin Johnson is T.O. Jr. And then I put T.O. number three, Michael Irvin number four, and then Chris Carter number five, who I think should have been in a first ballot Hall of Famer, but, you know, unfortunately, I don't know why he wasn't. But, you know, hopefully when the careers are over for Moss and T.O., in terms of, like, when they're up for the Hall of Fame, you know, the people do right and vote them in on the first ballot. I want to know, what's your take on that? Do you think it's going to happen with Moss and T.O.?
It'd be a crime if it did. You know, I mean, you know, like I said, one of the things, you know, everybody's on this performance enhancing thing right now. That's never been a case with these guys. I mean, you've had players who've had worse backgrounds and worse, you know, worse off the field stuff, way worse than them going in the Hall of Fame. So, you know, I mean, to me, if either one of them doesn't make it first ballot, it's going to weaken the credibility of the Hall of Fame even weaker than it already is.
Yeah, because Charles Haley's not even in the Hall of Fame yet, and that's kind of crazy right there in itself. But
exactly.
And Chris Carter is not even in the Hall of Fame, you know, so.
I thought Chris Carter should have gotten in a few years or even got in last year over Shannon Sharp.
Kevin Green.
Oh, yeah, you had said, let me add something you had said. You said you called Calvin Johnson like a mini version of T.O. I wouldn't say I think Calvin Johnson, nothing against T.O. I like T.O., but I think Calvin Johnson chance to be maybe 2-3 times better than T.O. Calvin Johnson.
Well, yeah, that's what I'm saying. He has better. What I'm saying is T.O. paved the way. Really, I wouldn't even say Calvin Johnson because – you can link Andre Johnson before Calvin Johnson. You know, I think T.O. sort of paved the way for an Andre Johnson type of receiver. Then Calvin Johnson's just maybe a mimic of Andre Johnson, basically. I don't know. I think he may be a little bit faster than Andre Johnson, but he's of that same ilk, you know what I'm saying? But the first guy to be that big and that fast, that physical kind of a guy, was T.O., in my opinion, you know.
I just think he's bringing another dimension to the game. A guy his build, his size, and speed, 6'6". Like, man, you know, he's one of those guys, too. But to say about, like Tex was saying, that's the sad thing about it with T.O. and Emar. Of course, they're not going to get to talk about it. It's going to be controversy with those two guys. You know, that image, like, compared to a Jerry Rice where, you know, hey, we all know that. And we all know most likely those two guys might not be first ballot Hall of Famers. That's the sad thing about it, which, you know, both of them are first ballot Hall of Famers. You know, I like running back. To think about it, you can definitely put T.O. if he's not three in the top five in receivers.
All right, let's see what a caller here has to say. We got a caller here online, 407.
Hello.
Yeah.
What was actually the question? Because I got in late.
Randy Moss. Was he the greatest? Does he have a point with what he said being the greatest receiver of all time?
Do you have a point? I mean, I can see his point. Anybody would say they're the greatest receiver of all time, but Randy Moss, that's my dude right there, man. I mean, how many receivers that tall with that kind of speed you saw take an 80 swing pass and go 80 yards for a touchdown? You know what I mean? How many receivers you know got a household name when they say you got Moss? How many receivers you know what I mean? I mean, it's... I think Randy Moss is one of the greatest receivers of all time, but I can't give him the greatest of all time because he ain't got no ring. I mean, that's just my opinion. I mean,
that's my thing with this ring thing.
He holds records. He holds three records still in the NFL. I mean, I have to say Randy Moss is not the greatest of all time, but he's one of the best of all time.
You say he's not great because he don't have the ring?
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to get.
I think that that's different. I think that's different when you talk about football because football is a lot more of a team sport than basketball. I mean, you could maybe say that for basketball, but football is way more. It's a lot more involved in football than it is in basketball. So you really can't say a guy's not that great because he doesn't have rings like in football, like you could for a basketball player. Barry Sanders ain't got no rings, and I think he's the greatest running back ever. So I mean, does that make him less any less good? Especially when you're talking about a non-quarterback player too.
But
how many Hall of Famers that he has going compared to everybody would say about Emmitt Smith? I mean, Emmitt Smith got way more, talented Hall of Fame players going in. How many you could say with Barry Sanders? Also a quarterback. Barry Sanders never had, I mean, Eric Kramer was okay, but Barry Sanders didn't even have a Hall of Fame quarterback. Emmitt Smith had Troy Aikman pretty much most of his career.
Yeah, B. Sanders had about three All-Pro offensive linemen, though. People try to overlook that, and the Lions had a solid wide receiver core. So,
okay. I mean, but he had no fullback. I don't know, but I mean, It wasn't like I can't really go by that text because, I mean, it wouldn't be like a design run with Barry Sanders. It'd be like hand him the ball and he'd figure out what hole to run that's open. You know,
it wasn't anything like that. They had three All Pro linemen.
But the way the play call was like give it to Barry and he figures out what hole was open and he goes there. Usually
he never ran through holes. He take the ball and he just go wherever the wind is taking him.
Right. That's what I'm saying. So that neutralizes the offensive line. It kind of neutralizes a great offensive line to a degree because usually in terms of run blocking, I mean, it shows when you have effective running plays, designed running plays in specific holes. That shows the skill of your offensive line right there.
His instinct does not neutralize whatever the offensive line is doing. They were zone blocking before zone blocking became the it thing. And, you know what I mean, they were putting bodies on people, and that's all there was. The D-line would get loose. The linebacker shoot a gap. Barry just figured it out. But they had three offensive linemen. Long Thomas Brown, Kevin Glover, and Mike.
Oh, man. Okay.
Also,
too, I'll say,
Brett Perriman and Johnny Morton.
Morton was Moore was probably the best receiver he had. And to me, a guy, I mean, maybe if he had a better quarterback, let's say he had maybe Steve Young or, you know, or Joe Montana, something like that, Herman Moore probably a guy, you know, you talk more about, maybe y'all could be in the Hall of Fame. His name came up, but he's not even in the Hall of Fame. But the guy, if he was on a better team, he might have, could be already in there or be here.
Wide receiver really don't got nothing to do with the running back. You know, I mean, we're talking about, you know, how rings make the player, you know, make the player better. And like I said, I don't think in football, if you're talking about a non-quarterback, dude, that really matters. You know,
Everybody thinks Peyton Manning, you know, is the greatest. I mean, if you're looking at the stats, what he's doing, might be the greatest quarterback in all time. And he only has one Super Bowl ring, but still, in that Super Bowl, he didn't really –
I think that goes more towards the point, though. It's hard to win a Super Bowl, man. I think the Super Bowl is the hardest – I think that's the hardest thing in sports to win, really. I mean, it's hard to win one. You got to, you know, it's hard. It ain't easy. Look how many great teams have not won, you know, have missed out on going to the Super Bowl, you know.
Yeah. I agree with you, Callie Mike. And tell that to some people in the media who ain't never played football or sports, saying how hard it is. I mean, like you say, you got to have everything on the floor. Everything has to go. Like my dad said, you got to have a little luck, too, you know, with the injury front, the stability on both sides of the ball. I mean, yeah, you're right. If you have all those injuries, I mean, I can derail you going back to the, you know, to the postseason or to the Super Bowl. Like you said, you got to have
all
everything go. Everything got to be on pace, coordinating.
All right. Let's kind of switch the conversation to the Hall of Fame.
I'll say this, though. But with the norm, everybody wants to dress in football. We all, like Mike said, it's hard, you know, to win a Super Bowl. What's the norm of saying how many Super Bowl rings to win? To be saying that you're, you know, one of the greats then. To be one of the greats, how many rings you got to have? If you all know it's hard to do.
I'll say the question again. I'm sorry. I didn't understand.
Like, everybody wants to judge people, you know, of how many Super Bowl rings to win and stuff. Like, what's the norm of a Super Bowl rings you should win to be, you know, judged as being one of the greatest at the position? Because we say Jerry Rice, some people would say, you know, Jerry's the greatest. Yeah, because he got four Super Bowl rings.
Right. I mean, is Deion Branch one of the greatest of all time?
Deion Branch's not in that category.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I mean, I don't, that kind of like, this whole how many rings you got to have to be considered one of the greatest. I mean, I don't go by that Super Bowl rings, how many rings you got to be one to consider one of the greatest. You know, I don't really go by that. Like, I think, not to switch to basketball, I already think LeBron's already a top 10 player of all time. So,
I mean
he only got one.
You know, he is, but I think, I think with basketball it's different, though. I think, like I say, just because you have five men on the court, if you have a dominant basketball player, you know, that guy, he can take his team to the championship. You know,
it's, you know, it's almost like, you know, I mean, I hate to start this out as a basketball talk, but, you know, when people talk about how dominant Will Chamberlain was, you know, Bill Russell, even though Chamberlain was the dominant basketball player, Bill Russell was taking it to him, you know, and stopped him from winning titles almost every year. And, you know, and Bill Russell got 11 rings, and Will would only have 2 or 3, I believe. So, you know, but, I mean, in football, you know, it's so, like I said, so many variables involved. I mean, you know, you look at, like I say, look at Buffalo going to the Super Bowl 4 times in a row and losing, and you know, I mean, it's like I say, it's hard to win a Super Bowl, man. I think people, you know, they underestimate that. But I, like I said, on some things when it comes to greatness, I do think it can be overrated. I mean, when you look at someone like Joe Namath, you know, who basically made their career off of guaranteed a Super Bowl win, and you know, he rode that all the way to Hall of Fame. You look at his career, he's an average quarterback, really. You know, he took that all the way to Hall of Fame. So I mean, it's kind of tough to judge, I guess. You know, in some cases, I think it's hard, but I think for some people, it kind of overrates them.
I think this, as a journalist, though, looking at it, they're probably going to judge for quarterbacks since, you know, Joe Montana has, you know, 4, and Tom Brady is, like, right there of having 3. They're going to probably judge quarterbacks coming in, like, you know, the Russell Wilsons, you know, Lux, and, you know, the new guys, RG3, of how many Super Bowls they win. They got to win at least 3 or 4 or 5, maybe for some to say that they might be the greatest or something like that. They have to do it, something like that, to do it, to set as a norm. Since Montana has that, and of course Terry Bradshaw, which, you know, Bradshaw won, but he won 4, but he ain't the greatest quarterback ever. You know what I'm saying? So that's why I think the media is gonna kind of look at that saying, well, they got to win at least 3 or 4, which we know it's hard to take to do to get to a Super Bowl.
Yeah. All right, I kind of want to go to the Hall of Fame here. I kind of want to know, do you have any predictions in regards to who's going to get in this year? I'm going to tell you the finalists here. There's 17 of them, so I'm not sure if y'all can remember them, but I'm going to say them all out. Larry Allen is up for the Hall of Fame. Jerome Bettis, Tim Brown, Chris Carter, Curly Culp, Edward DeBartolo Jr., Kevin Green, Charles Haley, Art Modell, Jonathan Ogden, Bill Parcells, Andre Reed, Dave Robinson, Warren Sapp, Will Shields, Michael Strahan, and Aeneas Williams. So, out of these names, like who do you think is probably going to get in most likely? I mean, like,
I think you can count Strahan in off that.
Okay. Oh yeah, Strahan's in.
I think Strahan in and Larry Allen in. I think you can count them in off rip.
Yeah, you can count them off. Yeah, I'll give you that.
I would do Jonathan Ogden.
I give him in there too.
I kind of disagree on.
I mean, how many? Is it a certain number that can go in or?
I think it's a certain percentage.
Like, only like 3 players can go in or something like that.
No, it's like a certain percentage that you have to – a percentage of people have to vote for you in order for you to get in. That's what I'm
saying.
I mean,
there's a cap on how many players can go in any given year?
I think it's like 6 or 7. It's like 6 or 7 that can go in.
I'm not sure.
I know the past few years, I think they had about around maybe 6 or 7 in that number.
I've seen years where there's only 4 get in. I've seen years where there's like 6 or 7 get in, so I'm not exactly sure. Maybe
it's been like that for the past several years. It's been like 6 or 7 right there. So like, how many who got in last year? Wasn't it like 7 last year?
I can't remember. Can't remember.
But
I don't know. Like I say, I don't think Aeneas Williams is going to get in.
I don't think so either.
I think it's a good chance. I mean, I break it down by position, though. I think
Charles Haley, he goes either way to me. I think Will Shields has a good chance of making it. Will Shields is kind of like one of those, he's one of those underneath guys, like, unless you really knew football, you really didn't know about him, but he might have been one of the best offensive linemen in football for a good, you know, 8 years out of his career, if not the best. You know, he was he was a pretty dominant guard, you know. But it's, like I say, he's one of them guys, you know. He's a football player kind of guy, you know. But he was very dominant.
Yeah.
I think this how I gotta think that it's gonna be. I think John Hopkins is gonna win. He's one of the best tackles in his, you know, his era. Of course, the tackle's gonna get in more and more for a guard. Will a guard get in? If it does be a guard, I think Larry Allen has a good chance, but I wouldn't be shocked if he doesn't get in where they just go with one offensive lineman. I think Jerome Bettis finally gets in with the running back. I think Chris Carter should get in over Tim Brown and Andre Reed because I think he's better than those two. So that's three. On the defensive line, I think Charles Kelly gets in at the end, so I think that knocks Michael Strahan out. And I think Warren Sapp gets in, so I think was a more dominant player than Michael Strahan, even though Strahan got, you know, numbers and sacks, but what he did for the franchise for the Tampa Bay Bucks. So I think Sapp gets in over Strahan, so we go with, you know, Sapp and Charles Kelly.
I can't really say that, man. I mean, I keep going. I'm sorry. I can't really say Warren Sapp was more dominant. Well, I don't know. I like Warren Sapp. I ain't going to lie to you, but I think Strahan, he had a lot of pretty good years, man. I mean, he had a really – and he especially that one year where he set the record in sacks. So, I don't know, man.
Was Strahan ever a defensive player of the year?
Yeah, when he had the record for the sacks, he was defensive player of the year. But I won't lie to you, it's more impressive – Warren Sapp being defensive player of the year because he was at the defensive tackle position. I think that was more impressive. So
when he did, he played. I mean, Tampa Bay pretty much, you know, helped that franchise out. I mean, it was a doormat franchise. He came in and did what he did.
That's true. That's true. But my thing is, if Warren Sapp wasn't really, I don't know, like he was really outspoken, and I think that kind of brought a more to his aura than, you know, whereas Strahan. He was kind of outspoken, but he wasn't as outspoken as Warren Sapp. You know, Warren Sapp would just one of those guys just tell you like it is type of guys. You know, so I don't know. I put Strahan over Sapp. I just give Strahan a slight edge.
I put Strahan over Sapp too. I mean, I look at it like this: if John Randall didn't get in the first ballot, Warren Sapp ain't getting in the first ballot.
You said John Randall.
I said if Randall didn't get in first ballot, Warren Sapp ain't getting in first ballot. So.
And you think John Randall's better than Warren Sapp, you think, over a career?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, for longevity.
I think Texas disagree on that because me and Texas was going through that. He was saying he thought Sapp was the best defense, one of the best defensive tackles ever. I remember we were having that conversation.
I mean, John Randall was one of, I mean, you're talking about maybe the top two or three defensive tackles, but I'm just saying I think John Randall's better than him.
All right, Texas, what's your take on this, Texas?
I think stat-wise, John Randall. Well, first off, let me say, I mean, I don't have any idea about who is going to get in. The fact of the matter is everybody is deserving. There's a backlog. There are a lot of guys that haven't gotten in that should get in. I think the only lock is Larry Allen, one of the top three O-linemen of all time, probably best guard of all time. I think one of the top three or four O-linemen to ever play the game. I think he's the only lock. I'm not sure about anybody else. As far as Warren Sapp is, I mean, the cornerstone of the cover two defense, the three tech, I mean, you know, that's what they played off of. They were one unit, one mind, one sound, but you know, the three tech on the outside shoulder of the guard, Sapp, just, you know, he tore it up. I mean, you get 17, 18 sacks as a defensive tackle, and then you go to Oakland in a 3-4, you move your defensive end, and you get 10, 11 sacks in. I mean, now you're versatile. You see what I'm saying? So, I think Randall is deserving of getting in also. I think Sapp was a linchpin and for a while probably the best player on one of the better defense. And you talk about consistency and staying power and just being there over time, playing at a certain level, probably, you know, the best player on the D for many years. Derrick Brooks wasn't there.
Yeah, but, you know, I think I would put, in my Hall of Fame, I would put Sapp, obviously, but, you know, the media, you know how they are, man. They didn't like Sepp when he was playing. So, you know, they're going to make him wait a year, just like they did Charles Haley. And, you know, and I think that's what's going to happen with Sepp. I don't think he's going to get in.
I do kind of remember. I think they only do let one player in from each position, if I'm correct, every year.
Last year they had it too. Cortez Kennedy got in, and there was another lineman. It was Kennedy, and who was the other guy that got in? I think it was Chris Dolman. Yeah, making Cortez Kennedy and Chris Dolman. I was surprised that Cortez got in. I thought Dolman had a better chance. So.
Well, it'll be interesting. I think they announced it on Friday or Saturday,
Saturday,
something like that.
Saturday on NFL Network.
So,
they're gonna have the show of it. I'm gonna say this. I think Aeneas Williams has a good chance of getting in because he's the only cornerback. I mean, I'm looking at the secondary position, and he was, you know, he came close last year too. And I think, you know, they're gonna have to add a senior contributor. I think Armel Dale was going to get in before Eddie DeBarlo and Bill Parcells. But Dale should have been in a long time ago because he's one of the guys that, you know, one of the pioneers of the NFL. I mean, he was responsible for the networks, like having, like, Monday Night Football, I should say. I didn't know that, you know, I found out when he died. So he was responsible for hooking up, getting Monday Night Football together. He's one of the, you know, original owners. You know, old school owners in the back in the 50s, you know, when Jim Brown was playing. So the reason why he didn't get in, they were saying because he made that move the Cleveland Browns to Baltimore, and I guess they didn't like that, so that's why he didn't get in. He should have got in a long time ago.
All right, let's see what the caller here has to say. Let me go 407.
I mean, I'd probably say Art Modell is going to get in there, most definitely. This is the effect he had on football overall. I had to go with Bill Parcells, Charles Haley, Jerome Bettis, and I mean, they all deserve to get in. I just really can't decide, like, who else I would really put in there. Like, I like Warren Snapp, but, you know, he went to the U and the media didn't like him, like somebody just mentioned. And, you know, even though he was one of the most dominant D tackles of our time, but I really, it's a toss up for the other ones that are, maybe Chris Carter. I think he deserves to be in there. That's pretty much all I got.
Well, who do you think hasn't gotten their just due that we may not have talked about that should be in the Hall of Fame? I'm going to start with you, Steve. Do you have any idea of anybody that you can think of that haven't gotten their just due, that's eligible but hasn't, you know, gotten in the Hall of Fame yet?
Probably the one that's on the ballot now, Chris Carter.
Okay. Well, hold on. Do you think of anybody that's not on the ballot maybe that hasn't gotten their just due yet that should be in the Hall of Fame?
I say Jerry Kramer, guard for the Green Bay Packers. I mean, at that time, I guess they didn't look at guards as well, but he was on the All-NFL 75th team, and, you know, he played with some Hall of Famers, and it's a guy they mentioned, that it's a shame that he's not in. I think he should be in. He was a heck of a player. I mean, he can't help it that he played with Hall of Famers. I mean, the man was good. He should have been in. And I'll go into our era where we was around, and, you know, it's my team, but I think Jay Hilgenberg from my Chicago Bears should have been in. He was an all-pro center, pro bowler. He still ain't been in. He was on, you know, the great line. It's a shame that none of our offensive linemen in the 80s was in it. He had a hell of a line. I mean, we led the league in rushing from like 4 or 5 straight years, from like 84, I think, to 88. And you know, Walter had a, you know, great line. We had an all-pro line. I think somebody, you know, should get in. I mean, I know one of them made the ballot. Was on one of the finalists like last year. I think Hilgenberg's name was on there, but I think he should be in there.
You can't think of anybody, Tex or anybody, or Cali Mike?
I can't think of anything. I don't keep Otis
Anderson.
I look at
Everson Walls.
No,
Everson Walls.
What about Junior Sanders?
I think, I mean, I look at it, I think it's, you know, if a lot of guys that, you know, that are on the fence that I think should get in, but sometimes I think, you know, I mean, everybody can't get in. That's the, you know, that's the point of a Hall of Fame, you know, to make a difference. Everybody can't get in. I mean, like I said, I look at Lester Hayes. I think he should have a shot to get in. You know, I think a lot, like I said, I mean, Tim Brown, I mean, like I said, I can't, you know, I can't just say that Chris Carter is better than him. I mean, like I said,
yeah.
Look at who was throwing Tim Brown the ball. And look at who was throwing Chris Carter the ball. And
I'm saying,
Chris,
like,
Carter's career really didn't blow up until he was playing opposite Randy Moss. So, I mean,
That's not true.
Hold on, one at a time.
Do you want to go
look at his stats when he played for the Eagles or whoever that was he played for before Minnesota and see what he was doing there?
Well, he was on crack. But no, before Brandy Moss could start.
Whose fault is that? I mean, what does that mean?
He was still a good receiver. He was still a pretty good receiver in Philadelphia, but Buddy Ryan cut him because he was on crack. But
he was an average receiver in Philly. He was average. I'm looking at his stats right now.
He was an average receiver.
His first 3 or 4 years, like I say, yeah, his first pro, he was in the league since '87. His first Pro Bowl season was 93, and he made that with 1,071 receiving yards. Like I say, he really blew up when Randy Moss got there. He was already 32 years old. His first 6 years, you can say, was spent wasted being on.
I think Chris Carter was a transcendent receiver too, and I'm gonna tell you why. Because he was the first person to. I'm gonna tell you why he was the first person to kind of originate that sideline grab with both feet in. Just lean and catch the ball out of bounds. It was the first guy to do that in the end zone, too. Chris Carter was the first one to do that.
That's highlight stuff, man. That's watching highlight films, man. He wasn't the first one to start doing that.
Yes, he was. He was the first one to do it consistently. It's like a mandatory requirement for a receiver to be able to do that. Now, Chris Carter, he was the first one to consistently do that on a regular basis.
His coordination was unbelievable, though.
I don't know. What's your take on this, Tex?
You got to say athletic ability, too. He has it over Tim Brown. Sorry on that, Mike.
Are you insane?
No, I think Chris Carter is just a little bit better.
Hold on. Mike, you think Chris Carter was a better athlete than Tim Brown?
He was more athletic than Tim Brown, yeah.
Okay, he was hold on. Mike, Tim Brown was faster than Chris Brown because Tim Brown could return punts and things like that. But in terms of like
Tim Brown was a way better athlete. Tim Brown had more receiving yards than Chris Carter, and the whole reason he didn't have more touchdowns, like I said, because he played with garbage quarterbacks.
Yeah, he played with garbage quarterbacks. I give you that. But I'm saying in terms of acrobatic catches, things like that, Chris Carter was better.
Tim Brown got more Pro Bowls than Chris Carter. It's not like I say, you guys. You know, I don't know what y'all are going off, man, but it's not.
I'm going by the eye test. I'm going by the eye test.
What eye test? You guys, early '90s. You guys weren't watching them games, man. Come on. Now.
Yes, I was.
You was watching Chris Carter in 92 when you were 10? Come on now.
When he went to Minnesota. I watched him when he first went to Minnesota.
You watched him when Randy Moss came to Minnesota.
Randy Moss came in 97. Chris Carter was a Pro Bowler in 93, 94, 95, and 96. He was a four-time Pro Bowler before Randy Moss even came to Minnesota. Are you kidding me? You're trying to tell me he won nothing in Minnesota before? I'm looking at this right here. He was a four-time Pro Bowler before even Randy Moss even came on the team. He has 1,001 receptions, and he has almost 1,300. He has almost 1,400 receiving yards and 130 touchdowns. You're trying to tell me that's overrated? Come on, man. Come on. Are you kidding me?
And for receptions, he's like in the top five or top three receptions. And he's right behind
in the receiving yards. Are you listening to what you're saying?
Who's that one receiving? I mean, I'm talking about receptions.
Tim Brown.
What about receptions?
But anyway, let's just I'm gonna curtail the conversation anyway, man. I'm gonna put you back on hold here real quick, Steve. Let me put you back on hold. Let's get into the Ray Lewis situation. We all know that he's been linked to performance enhancing drugs this week. I guess my question is, he responded to the question. Do you think he handled it correctly? Do you think that the media is treating him fairly in regards to, you know, just Ray Lewis bringing up the murder case, talking about the drugs, things like that? I just want to know what your take on the whole situation is. We'll start with you, Cali Mike.
I mean, that's the media. You know, it's Super Bowl. Everybody's getting hyped up. You know, you already have this, you know, intrusion and you know, questions about his character because of what Wes Walker's wife said. And, you know, now you got, they just had an interview with the mom of the shooters. They took her by the gravestones. And even though she had no relationship with the man who died, and she was on drugs and didn't take care of him, but they took her by the gravestone and did this big thing where she cried. And did this and that, and, you know. I mean, it's typical media. I mean, I don't put nothing into it. Where was all this 3 weeks ago? You know, you mean to tell me a couple of days before the Super Bowl, now all of a sudden he's on drugs? Come on now.
All right, Shytown, what's your take on this?
Man, they were talking about this all last week on the radio. They were saying about this. They were gonna bring something up on Ray Lewis about. Talking about, if it wasn't about the incident with the situation with the PED and this, antler spray, whatever stuff he was using, deer supposed to have used, and they was going to talk about the murder that happened 13 years ago. And it's just like Mike said, the media, man. They don't like him, but at the same time, he's going to be a part of them because I don't know if y'all heard, ESPN, I heard he's going to make him an offer, I guess, to be on there. Football stuff, so he might be a media guy, but it's just, like I said, like Mike said, I don't really pay no attention to it. I mean, hey, he handled himself well, man. Hey, like you said, he a grown man. He's focused on trying to win the Super Bowl.
All right, Tex, what's your take? Tex, what's your take on this?
Media is a media. They'll continue to do whatever they do. They'll ask whatever questions they want to ask. Ray Lewis, you know, he'll just continue to be a professional and live with whatever they ask him. You know, everybody's judgmental. Everybody knows he takes PEDs, and everybody knows he killed those two guys out there in Atlanta. So, you know, there's nothing to prove. It's just, I mean, it's the nature of the beast. So I don't really think too much of it. I mean, you know. You think people would just try to, just want to ask him questions about the game, about the Super Bowl, and about his team or the other team, but, you know, you got to get a line, you have to get some juice. That's how it works.
What really scares me is how much this type of stuff really influences people, you know, it's like, it's just, I don't know, it's mind-boggling the way people are influenced by the media now. It's almost back to like how it was back in the in the early 19th century, you know, and folks, you know, when the media could start wars and stuff like that. It's really sickening, you know. I mean, like I say, Ray Lewis on steroids, you know, this is a dude who, you know, I mean, like I say, he's made his career off of physical fitness. No other questions have been ever said, you know, nobody's ever said any questions about this. You know, like I said, now all of a sudden, you know, all this stuff is popping up. It's garbage, man. I mean, you know, like I say, if he is, I mean, that's come up right before the Super Bowl. Come on now.
and never ever test a positive for kids. All right, so, I mean, there's that. And, I mean, and these guys coming forward with this, it looks like they don't have any credibility to speaking to any reliable source.
And nobody's even saying what this deer antler stuff even really is. I mean,
technically there's a lot of stuff on the banned substances list. It really, it's stuff you can find at a regular grocery store that's on that banned substance list. They're not, nobody, I mean, I haven't seen it. Has anybody even seen what the deer antler stuff really was supposed to really even is?
I don't know nothing about it.
It's supposed to be from Australia. It's supposed to, like, the deer is supposed to, antler is supposed to grow real fast, so then they kind of, the players use that to sort of, as some form of HGH or whatnot. That's my understanding.
So it's actually a derivative of an actual deer's antler?
I believe so.
Oh, okay, yeah, I mean, that's silly business. Come on now. I mean, that,
yeah.
Like I said, what does that mean? That's like me. So if I put aloe vera on a wound because it's to help me heal quicker, I'm on PEDs now.
Yeah, it was a banned substance. So that's the thing.
There's different stuff that's on the banned, that's on the banned list, and the stuff they actually test for because they know that which stuff really is should be banned. Like I say, you know, it's tons of stuff on that list. They don't test for it, so they know it's bullcrap. Like I say, if this hadn't came up, we wouldn't even know what deer antler is. So, you know.
Yeah. Well, let's see what a caller here has to say. Let me
off the subject, but I see it. Tim Brown's number 5 with 14,934 yards. Chris Carter's ranked 9 with 13,899 yards. So Chris Carter's still better than Tim Brown, Mike.
Alright, let's
even though you just proved yourself wrong. Okay, keep going.
Alright, you got something to say, Steve?
About Ray Lewis?
Yeah.
Yeah, man, the media is trying to blow this up, man. They don't want the man to, I mean, it's like every player I see, I hate to say it like this, but every player I see from the University of Miami, man, they give them a hard goddamn time, man. That's some bullshit. Ray Lewis,
yeah,
put in all the work, dedication. I don't know if he used something, he used something. If he didn't, he didn't. He ain't failed no test. I mean, if he get away with it, he got away with it. Don't hate on the man because he's about to retire and be one of the greatest linebackers of all time. I mean, that ain't going to stop him from doing what he do in the Super Bowls. I mean, they just need to leave the man alone. They just try to make something out of nothing. I mean, IGF-8-1, they said it was, the guy said it was a spray that you spray in your mouth. I mean, they said you can't even put that in your mouth. Like, it wouldn't even have no effect. You can't even develop into a spray. You have to inject it. So, I mean, whatever they're saying is just sounding like a bunch of bullshit just to make Lewis look bad. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Interesting.
Like I was telling the guy, Steve, about, you know, and this story didn't come up. Of course, as all talk was going to be about that murder. Trust me, this story wasn't talking about. We'd be hearing about this murder thing, what happened 13 years ago, from now on to the Super Bowl, talking about it. Because they were talking about it all last week before this story came up.
Yeah, now the family wants some money to get a beauty salon or some furtherness for that murder. I mean, I'm here in Atlanta. You know what I mean? I hear all that BS. People in Atlanta coming and going, got away with murder and all that other crazy. I'm like, man, it is what it is. No one knows anything.
I already paid like one of the family's money during the time when after the trial was over, they settled. But one of the family, I think the family, fiance of one of the guys' family, because I think he had a child. And I think she was gonna get like maybe $500,000-$600,000 or something like that.
That man paid $1.5 million.
Why would he pay? I don't understand that. Not to, and I want to do this. If he didn't do anything wrong,
I think
in terms of murdering anybody,
in a civil lawsuit as opposed to a criminal lawsuit, a civil lawsuit, if you're responsible for it, you can be held responsible. You know, if your actions led up to whatever happened and they prove it, you can be held responsible for it.
Yeah,
so
yeah, that's true.
It's different, you know, if a criminal lawsuit, you know.
Like OJ, remember he had to pay the Gomans and the Browns all that money? You know, he got off. I mean, they took him to that civil thing.
Well, it's like this. It's like, say, if your actions lead to something in a civil lawsuit, you can be held liable for it, as opposed to if you actually did the act. That's why, you know, if my crew does something, I can be held liable for it. You know, in a civil lawsuit.
Mm.
Yep.
So,
One thing right there, he took it out of his, though. He said, I think, I don't know if y'all saw the interview he had. I think he did on ESPN. He said, just be careful who you hang out with. And at that time, he just.
Well, I mean, I look at it. I think what it was a situation happened. There was a fight. You know, some guys got stabbed. You know, from what I understand, those guys had guns. They shot at Ray Lewis and his friends. There was holes in the limousine. And, you know, and one of those dudes Ray was with stabbed the dude. And, I mean, you know. Like I say, Ray wasn't found guilty of anything, and neither were the two men who went on trial for it. They were acquitted too. So, you know, got off on self defense. So I mean, if you know, you look at the background of the person who did it, they weren't no angels. So I mean, you know, that happens in life sometimes. You know, you learn from it and move on.
They were saying that I guess they were saying that too at around that time with Ray. I guess these guys they have went through. Well, a sporting store to buy some knives and stuff. So that's, the, you know, the thing they kind of got it where, you know, that's what they were saying. But, you know, like you said, they were talking about, you know, discussing this on the radio last week. I was hanging out here. I was like, at the same time, you know, he wasn't on charge, you know, murder. The only thing he was charged of, you know, injustice, misleading information. You know, friends, like Mike said, got off. So, I mean, obstruction of justice. So, like I was saying yesterday, you know, he's just, it happens, it's sad. He was just at the wrong place at the wrong time. Like you said, a fight happened, and he was there. He's Ray Lewis. He's an NFL player. He has money, so they went after him. You got to be careful when you're in the spotlight like that, who you hang out with, who you associate with, because it comes back to haunt you.
All right, well, I'm a curtail the discussion here. I'm gonna change it up a little bit. Let me put you on hold here. I'm gonna get into Joe Flacco. Joe Flacco is up for a contract, I think, next year. He has 1 year left, so he's up for a contract extension. And allegedly, he wants Drew Brees money. Do you think the win or lose? Do you think the Ravens should give him that type of money? Let me start with you, Shatown. What you think on that?
No. I listed my top five yesterday, quarterbacks, and I was going to just do it again for our listeners and everybody on the radio. You know, top five can go any order. You know, Peyton Manning, Tom Brady, Drew Brees, Aaron Rodgers, and Ben Roethlisberger. Those are the top five elite quarterbacks in the NFL. I said it yesterday. Everybody else is debatable. Joe Flacco, is he in the top 10 or an 11? You know, he's been playing well. I thought he played well last year. You know, he made that crucial mistake in the AFC Championship when he threw that interception. But had he played a little bit better like he did this year, you know, Baltimore, you know, even with that field goal miss, Baltimore could have been in the Super Bowl last year. I don't really think of him as being in that category with those five of paying him money. He's an adequate quarterback. I would say above average, but I wouldn't say he's an elite quarterback, win or lose. But I just think he needs to be paid a nice deal, but you're talking about money paying like Drew Brees or Peyton Manning, I don't see him being that franchise type of quarterback like that. He's not in that category of those five, so he shouldn't get that, but I'll pay him well, but not pay Manning, Drew Brees type money. No way, Jose. That would be a big mistake if Baltimore does that.
Well, let me see. What's your take on this, Cali Mike?
I mean, if he wins the Super Bowl, all the power is going to be in his favor. I mean, like I said, I'm not a Flacco fan. I've said that before. Just in the way, like, I'm not a Ben Roethlisberger fan. So, I mean, to me, you know, like I
really?
Say,
you're
you
not
know,
even
a
Ben Roethlisberger?
I like Roethlisberger, but I don't put him as an elite quarterback. You know, I mean, I look at his game he plays, a lot of picks. You know, I mean, it's, you know, like I said, I just, you know, I see a lot of flaws in his game that it'll stop me from putting him in that Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady, you know, Drew Brees atmosphere. And you know, I think you know, like I said, you look at Flacco, I mean. If you think he's your guy, you're gonna have to pay him. I mean, look at the other free agents. You got Joe Flacco, Jason Campbell, Tavares Jackson, Matt Moore, Drew Stanton, and Seneca Wallace. And those are the top quarterback free agents for next year. Somebody's gonna pay for Joe Flacco.
Yeah, somebody will pay for Joe Flacco. Vince Young's in there. Jamarcus Russell's in there too. We're about to get Jamarcus Russell in a minute.
Yeah,
but anyway,
somebody's gonna pay for Flacco. Sometimes you got to overpay for a player. I mean, I've said that before in different sports. Especially if you're a smaller market team. A lot is gonna ride on if he wins the Super Bowl or not. If he doesn't win the Super Bowl, maybe he can get away with going somebody else. But if he does, like I said, he's gonna get paid. If he doesn't get paid, I don't think he's gonna get Drew Brees money anyway. But he's gonna get that $13, $14, $15 million a year contract. Definitely.
Okay.
I will say too though. I thought Michael Vick was possibly available. I don't know if y'all said it.
Come on now. Let's not get sidetracked with that craziness. Come on, Mike. Michael Vick. Come on now.
I thought too. The Ravens can franchise them. They can't agree to it. They can franchise them up to three times.
$25 million.
All right, hold on.
I was going to say, if you franchise him, Mike, you might end up paying more than you're going to pay him for a contract.
I thought it was like $14 million or $12 million if he franchised him.
Quarterback?
Yeah, quarterback. I thought that it was like the average of the top
dude,
five.
Quarterback, no. You might get that for like a wide receiver maybe, but a quarterback, a quarterback is going to get $20 million. Yeah, quarterback is going to get around $20-something million.
All right. Hold on. I'm sorry, Tex. Before you make your point, I got a caller here. I got to let in, all right? And I want you to hold your point, okay? Let me put the caller in, 469.
Hey.
You're on.
Hey, what's happening? Just ask you. How y'all doing today?
What's good, man? What's good? I know you are.
Yeah. Hey, I just want to say I'm with y'all with the Flacco thing. I think it's kind of funny. It's a trip. I think he's going to get some money. I do think I think the Baltimore, they're not going to let him walk. They're just not. His record speaks for itself. I think that he's an above average quarterback. I do not think he's an elite quarterback by any stretch. But the question is, let's say that Baltimore does not sign him. Who is going to try to sign him? Who would actually pay him the money?
Tampa is trying to. No, I live in Tampa, and trust me, I listen to talk radio. They want Josh. They don't. The city does not want Josh Freeman there right now. I mean, they're not actually saying it right now. They're not saying it, but that's what they're implying, basically. They don't want Josh Freeman there.
Look at Kansas City. They're paying Matt Moore. He's making what, $13-14 million?
But the problem, okay, I'm glad you brought up KC. KC, they have a problem on their own, and that guy is Dwayne Bowe. They have to see if they can keep Dwayne Bowe, which I kind of don't think so. But if they can be able to get Joe Flacco, the possibility of keeping Dwayne Bowe is huge.
Yeah.
I mean, can they afford Dwayne Bowe and Joe Flacco? I don't see them doing that.
I don't see it.
Well, they got some good pieces there.
I heard that they were kind of resigned to losing Bowe. I heard that they're not going to be getting him back anyway.
Yeah, they are. And I think.
Go ahead.
I think he's going to walk too. But I think that if Dwayne Bowe walks, I would love for him to go to Minnesota.
What quarterback? You talking about Christian Ponder? Are you kidding me? I would not wish that on Dwayne Bowe.
I feel you on that. But they have Adrian Peterson. They need another weapon.
Huh? Oh, this about Minnesota. All day. Today they were interested in Donald Driver. No, yesterday they were interested in Jennings.
Yeah,
you see, I can see a Donald Driver going to Minnesota, but I don't know. We'll see. It all depends on how the free agency pans out or whatnot. But
I think wide receiver is going to be a free agent market.
I agree too.
All right,
Mike Wallace, Greg Jennings, and Dwayne Bowe, and Danny Amendola. So I mean, I think they're gonna have a couple of wide receivers out there. Wes Welker, he's gonna be available too if anybody wants to take a flyer. So it's gonna be a couple of guys out there, wide receiver.
All right, so Tex, what's your take on the whole thing, Tex? I didn't want to interrupt you. I wanted you to be able to say your point that you were going to make.
Well, the first things first is that a guy is going to be worth however much a team is going to pay him. This is, you know, and you gotta understand what you gotta understand the player, what he has done. He has showed up, and now you have to look at the general manager and the front office, shrew front office and GM, Baltimore. He's not going to have to get $20 million a year. It might be between 15 and 20. I don't know. I don't feel like Flacco, to me, he's not worth what Drew Brees, Peyton Manning, or what Aaron Rodgers is probably about to get paid. But you know, you're going to get paid whatever the team sees that team feels like you're worth. You ask him if he's worth that much. I don't think so. But you know, again, I mean. Yeah, I mean, even if it's not an elite quarterback playing in the Super Bowl, I think when you watch the game, you look at the games, and you can tell who is catalyst. Flacco, while not elite, 8 touchdowns, 0 interceptions this postseason. The Ravens have been big with the chunk yardage, but Indy, they were huge. Against Denver, they were big. Against New England, I mean, they were big. I mean, the quarterback was playing out of his mind, wasn't turning the ball over. He was making plays. He's been on the verge. I mean, I always thought that he was – I never thought he was at his best. He wasn't just a top 3-4 quarterback. I always felt he was a top 10 guy. Always on the verge of probably moving forward. He is talented. He has he's with an organization that has structure. They know how to build. They understand. They get it. You know what I'm saying? But I don't know if he's worth $20+ million. But it's hard to debate that he's not, considering the importance of the position. If he goes and the Ravens win the Super Bowl and he comes up big again.
Okay.
I got a question for you, Tex. Would you take him over Tony Romo?
Yeah,
no. I take Romo. I like Romo better.
Thank you.
I'm saying maybe. I like Romo better. I like Romo. I think Romo is a good quarterback. Say it again.
Yes, Flacco is like Herman Munster. You know, I mean, his footwork is decent, but he's not. But with the, when you look at the Dallas Cowboys and you look at the offensive line and how terrible the offensive line is, Flacco is not going to be able to elude pressure.
You got to say physical gifts and ability. I think Tony Romo is better. But the way he's been playing wise, well, Flacco, I mean, his playoff record, he's probably played well. I mean, he's done what he's done. And also, too, he's why I say Tony Romo, because he's up for a contract extension, too. He wants to be paid or one like the elite, you know. And, of course, Aaron Rodgers is a free agent coming up next year, and Jay Cutler, so it's going to get crazy.
Yeah, it's going to be really interesting to see what happens this free agency. You know, you think Romo's going to be – I think Romo's staying another year in Dallas. That's what Jerry Jones said.
Jerry Jones loves Romo. He ain't going nowhere.
Yeah. So,
interesting. I think also now that we got the salary – now that we got a rookie salary cap, I think we're going to start seeing a big jump in player salary, you know, because the owners can't make no more excuse not for really paying these guys no more. Now that we're not paying, you know, rookies $60 and $70 million no more, that money is going to have to go somewhere, you know, and I think, you know, you're going to start seeing a lot, you know, player salaries get a lot higher. So, you know, like I say, Aaron, you know, you got Aaron Rodgers coming up as a free agent. I mean, I get it. He's, you know, what, $200 million contract? You know, possible.
Yeah.
Possible.
I think when he comes to get his deal, he definitely, it'll be a shock and surprise if he's not the highest player in the NFL.
Oh, he's going to be for sure. I'm not, that's why I'm saying I'm not worried about that.
All right, Well, I want to put you on hold here, man. I want to get into Reggie Bush in a minute, man. I know you posted a thing about Reggie Bush. Hold on. I'm going to put you on hold here. I got another call here, John. Hold
on. Okay.
Let me put James on here.
Man, the Bucks ain't going to sign Joe Flacco. Are you kidding me, man?
Well, I mean, no, of course not. Okay, yeah, all right. They won't sign Joe Flacco. I know that. Okay, but the question was, who would want to get Joe Flacco? Would the Bucks want to get rid of Josh Freeman for Joe Flacco? If they had a choice between Josh Freeman and Joe Flacco, they'd pick Joe Flacco. Trust me, they would.
They probably would, but the thing is like the whole issue about cap space with the Bucks is kind of in question. I mean, they made all those free agent signings the past season, so it's a question on what do they have for this upcoming season as far as, like, signing free agents. Like, for example, do you think that they, even if they don't sign Joe Flacco, do you even think they could get a Dwayne Bowe?
No, they don't need a Dwayne Bowe. They already got Vincent Jackson, and they got Mike Williams. So they don't really need a receiver. They need a DB, D. Milner. That's probably what they're going to get, somebody like that.
Oh.
If it's not already taken, I'm serious, too. I know that's a joke, but I'm serious, man. But my thing is, they're going to have to get somebody on it. What'd you say?
They got another year left on his deal, so they got to take care of him, too.
But they ain't going to take care of Mike Williams like that. They ain't going to give him that type of money. But one thing is, they're going to have to get like a DB, basically, because they got rid of Aqib Talib, so they got to bring somebody in like a D. Milner or another DB in the draft, you know, to or get like trade down and get maybe two DBs or something like that to sort of fill that role, Aqib Talib. And Rondé Barber's going to probably retire, too, so...
They need a defensive back, and I think they need a linebacker, too. So I'm not sure if they're going to get even one of the other as far as the first pick in the draft, but I think they need to pick up an extra linebacker, though.
Well, yeah, I mean, in terms of value, they're going to – I mean, if you want to get the best player, there's not going to be the best – who Manti Te'o?
No, they ain't going to
be. Because they got Levante David, and he's a pretty good player. Mark Barron's a pretty good player. They got a pretty somewhat solid defensive line. So I think the most important things they need is the defensive backs. But my thing is, the community here in Tampa Bay, at least on talk radio, you know, they don't want Josh Freeman there.
Is this mostly coming from talk radio, or is any of this coming from the organization?
Well, the community calls into talk radio. The community calls into talk radio, and they're not happy with Josh Freeman. But they're not saying that they don't want Josh Freeman. They're not saying we don't want Josh Freeman. But they put little subtle hints in there. It's every day. I listen to it every day. They put little subtle hints in there saying, what would it be like without Josh Freeman? So that's the culture is they don't want Josh Freeman there. Because he's not delivered, he's not gotten to the playoffs. And there's probably some other factors, too, but I don't need to get into that. But I'm just saying that. But I'm just saying, you know, they don't want Josh Freeman. The fan base does not want Josh Freeman in Tampa. Let's just put it that way.
I was going to say this, too, though. You know, there's new management there. I mean, I think Dan came in and a head coach, so you know how it is. I mean, he wasn't his guy, so, of course, Chiano probably, you know, you never know. Has Chiano backed Josh Freeman saying that he just quarterback?
No, he has not. No, and they didn't give him an extension. They did not give him an extension. You know, they did not. They didn't. So let's just say something right there. So, but anyway, hold on. You got something to say, Tex or anybody on this?
No.
All right. Anything else you got to say, James?
No, you can go on the next topic, man.
All right, man. Yeah, I got to – hey, I'll put you on hold. I got to put Steve back on here and see what his take is on this. Steve.
Yeah. I got to – when you look at giving a quarterback a lot of money, you got to look at certain things like is it a good part of your organization? Like how long is this guy going to last? But Joe Flacco, man. I think he's deserving, especially if he wins the Super Bowl, like somebody said earlier. Why not give him that contract? I mean, then I got to correct somebody on the franchise tag. It's $14.8 million if he gets franchised, no matter who it is. So it doesn't matter if you're a quarterback or not. It's only going to be $14.8 million. But Joe Flacco, man, that dude's been doing his thing. Man. You can't discredit him of that. And I'll take him over a lot of quarterbacks in the league right now. Just because
you take him over Tony Romo?
Yeah, hell yeah. What do you mean? How many playoff games has Romo won? And how many playoff games has Joe Flacco won? You could do all that running around.
That's true.
I mean, Joe Flacco knows when to take the sack. Tony Romo want to be like a hero and make stupid plays, man, by protecting the ball. What is Tony? As far as protecting the ball, who's going to protect you? Joe Flacco or Tony Romo? Come on, man. I mean, this man's won the Super Bowl. Tony Romo ain't did nothing for the Cowboys, but look good in the regular season and get in the playoffs and look like a totally different guy. Like he forgot how to play football or something. And I can't pick Tony Romo up. You're out of your mind. I mean, just look at it. Look at the stat. And look what he's doing for his team. I mean, you got it. I mean, they give a guy like Mario Williams $100 million. I mean, why not give Joe Flacco a big contract? Doing what he has to do on the field to win football games.
Yo, also, I forgot to say this too, though. Matt Ryan, you know, looking to get big. You know, he's gonna be a free agent. Got another year left. And he's on the works to get an extension. So that's interesting. Honestly, I think Matt Ryan's a better quarterback than Joe Flacco.
Matty, I have no question about that. Matt Ryan, they're gonna re-sign him in Atlanta for sure. They got to.
Ryan would get more than Flacco. So I know Flacco wants, if he gets more than Matt Ryan, they say, dude, then like, wow. You know, so I think it's just right there.
Some people in Atlanta want Matt Ryan to go.
So after that game, what are you talking about right now?
But that's a very small minority, though. I don't think. I don't think that many people want Matt Ryan to go. I can't see that, man.
Maybe they're mad over the emotions of the game or whatever. But some people want that dude to seriously go.
Where did you hear this from?
I work in the city of Atlanta, right? Where people come in the store all day. We talk about the Falcons. That's all they love and die and breathe. Atlanta Falcons, like, these people are like, oh, you're not a Falcons fan? Are you serious? Like, is there any other NFL teams as far as the Falcons? Like, I ain't got to be no Falcons fan because I moved here. I mean, that's all they talk about, man. Almost everybody. The Georgia Bulldogs and Falcons, they're all mad. Mark Rick got to go. Somebody got to go. I mean, it's like, man, it's ridiculous, man.
I got a question then about that. What's your take on? I want to switch the subject real quick. What's your take on the owner possibly leaving if the city doesn't get a new stadium? What's your take? Yeah, Atlanta. I'm talking to Steve. What's your take on it? You heard about that yet?
Yeah, I heard about that because you know he wants to be able to have the Super Bowl come back here, which I don't blame him. I mean, but at the same time, I don't know, man. Everybody loves the owner, you know what I mean? But at the same time, it's like, what? Who cares? If he leaves, he leaves. I mean, that's his money. You know, if he don't want to give it to him and he doesn't agree with it, he'll go somewhere else and get a stadium. So, I mean, the owner's going to do what they want to do. So I really care less about that. I mean, but they need to give him a stadium, though. That dome is.
I mean, is the Georgia Dome a bad stadium? I'm trying to understand that.
It's got some nice amenities in there. I mean, it's not that bad. It's just he wants to have more parking. He wants to be able to be in an area where it's more accessible. Like, it's in the middle of downtown. You can't park. You got to take the train. I mean, it's not really the best area to have a big sporting event. He's thinking a big sporting event. Like, to host everything. He wants the Super Bowl to come back there. The only way that's going to happen is if they upgrade and get paid. I can't blame him for that. He brought a lot of money to the city. He feel like he'd bring more with a new stadium.
I was going to say, I was there in Atlanta a month ago, and I was saying when they were talking about the Georgia Dome, they were saying that they were going to get a new stadium, like they want to get a $1 billion stadium down there. And I heard they want, you know, the taxpayers, you know, get the Atlanta people to pay for that stadium. Oh, they vote on it. I thought it was approved for them to get that going. And well, in 2015 or something, they said they're going to tear the Georgia Dome down.
See, the problem is we gotta look at the actual city of Atlanta. Not that many people actually live in the city. Not really that much money in the actual city of Atlanta. Everybody lives in the outskirts in the different counties. You know, it's made up of, like, there's pretty much the five counties that's around here. But, you know, the population of the city of Atlanta is really not that big. Everything else is on the outskirts. So, I mean, for him to pull it off, he can pull it off because he got the money, but the city just got to approve it, man. I mean, they're going to go with it. I think if they would have got the Super Bowl, they would have won the Super Bowl, it would have definitely been. It would have happened. If they would have won the Super Bowl. There wouldn't have been no question.
Nice. I saw a report on this. I know you might have heard about this, Steve, but I saw a report on this on NFL Network yesterday, and I posted on Facebook. They talking about Atlanta may be serious about maybe being a team that relocates to L.A.
Nah, I don't see that, though.
Nah,
but I hear that.
They had it posted yesterday.
It'll be the Jaguars.
Like you said, if they don't get that stadium, I mean, just thinking about it, and I hate to be real, but some fans down there are kind of fickle. You know, they don't support us. Let's say Atlanta, you know, it won't happen, but let's just say Atlanta be sorry next year. Let's say they go 0-5, 0-6 off that. Fans might not come out to the game. I know fans, they support their fans, that's their team when they do well. When they don't do well, they don't support that team. I've seen it firsthand. When I was at FAMU, 2000, when I was in Atlanta for the Atlanta Classic. First time I ever saw a blackout when I was in Atlanta. I'm like, this thing just went to a Super Bowl 2 years prior, and they got a blackout. Nobody at the game.
I mean,
it says it right there.
I don't see. The only team I see maybe going to L.A., which will be a team in the future, it probably is going to be Jacksonville. That's the only team I see. Maybe Tennessee Titans. Other than that,
Tennessee not going nowhere.
Oh, yeah, San Diego. Yeah, I didn't think about San Diego, too. So, San Diego's the ideal team.
Jacksonville, San Diego. Well, I got to say, I wouldn't, again, after seeing yesterday and just thinking about it and seeing it firsthand, I wouldn't be surprised if Blank, you know, decides to do that. But I didn't even know that he thought about selling the team. I didn't hear about that either, so. Well, that's something new.
Let's move this conversation here. We want to go Reggie Bush. Allegedly, it's reported that he's probably not going to come back to. He's probably not coming back to the Dolphins. So the question is, where do you think would be a good place for Reggie Bush to go?
Who are you asking?
Oh, I'm asking Tex. I'm going to start with you first.
Personally, I mean, as far as fit is concerned, I know I know a zone, they're in a zone block scheme. It doesn't necessarily fit Bush to a T because he's not really an instinctive runner. Actually, Bush is a downhill runner. A team that he would go to, I'll tell you, the perfect fit for Reggie Bush is San Francisco. Counters, powers, traps, excellent fit for Reggie Bush.
You think so? Sort of that thunder and lightning package. But that, don't they already have?
The thunder and lightning is just, I mean, I don't know where that comes from.
It comes from the New York Giants. It was Ron Dane and Tiki Barber. That was Thunder and Lightning.
I know where it comes from, but I mean, you know, I don't know where it comes from.
That doesn't, you know, I've always wondered this too, and like I said, you've probably seen it because you're a Giants fan. People just associate Ron Dane with Thunder because he was big. Like I always tell people, Ron Dane was big. Ron Dane was like a stat back. You know, Ron Dane did not play a big running back.
Yeah,
you know,
you're right.
You know, even when, you know, you look at his games when he was in Wisconsin, he used to use his speed to get by. He wasn't running over people. And, you know, so when they say that thunder and lightning in New York, that really was the case for me. You know, I mean, I've never, like I said, Rondown was work done and a 260-pound body.
Yeah, that's fair to say. Yeah, I mean, I was never a big fan of him anyway, so, I mean, it's whatever. I never liked him when he was in the Giants, so.
Yeah, I remember that, yeah.
So
I think the key is going to be how much money Bush feels like he can get. He'll be going into his eighth season. this is time for him to get. It's time for him to cash in. I'm not sure if he's
going to cash in. Yeah, but has he earned his big payday?
He has been productive with Miami. When I say cash in, I'm just talking about getting. I'm just talking about his. Get some kind of deal. You know, guys, actually, you know, the goal is to try to see two huge deals in your football. You want your original contract, you want your extension or the new contract, the quarterback, maybe you get a third contract. But the best fit for him is just a power run team. The Colts would be a fit for him. The 49ers would be a fit for him. You think about Bush, you think speed. You're not really thinking power, but he's a straight ahead kind of back. He's not really an instinctive type of back. It's a hold if the air. He can follow blockers. He can take off, and he can shake. He can be a force. So, misdirection. 49ers offense, perfect fit for Reggie Bush. 49ers and a couple. And
yeah, he can probably help sell some tickets.
Although he probably wouldn't be a great zone runner. I still like Denver for Reggie Bush as far as what he brings to the passing game.
Do you think he's a player? I think he can still sell tickets. I think he can still sell tickets just off his name. He has sort of a flashy running style to him. He still has that sort of.
Productive.
Yeah, he's not productive. He's like, I wouldn't say Blake Griffin, but let
I
me
just
think.
I say he kind of lost his lust, man. Kind of for me, to tell you the truth. I mean, you said Reggie Bush. I'm like, what are you saying about Reggie Bush? He ain't, he was a big star in college, but now he's just.
Well, I look at it like this. He came to New Orleans. He had a decent rookie season. He got injured. And then they came back. They went to the Super Bowl. Then he ended up in Miami. But he's never, in my opinion, throughout his whole career, besides maybe his rookie year, he's never been utilized like I thought he could be utilized.
I agree with that. I thought the Saints were utilized better than what they did.
Exactly.
What about Chip Kelly's in Philly? What about the Eagles? Do you think he could be utilizing that spread offense?
There you got.
You just heard me say he's not a zone runner, not inside outside zone runner. That's probably what Chip Kelly is going to be doing in Philadelphia. Power run scheme, traps, counters, power, downhill. He's a downhill runner, not the east west runner.
All right, so basically, your fit is you said San Francisco.
San Francisco and
Indianapolis.
Yeah.
All right. I like that. I like that.
He said Denver, which it could be a possibility because Marshawn Moreno, he's just been, he's not durable enough for me. He's been hurt, so I don't think Denver would be too bad for him to go. He might end up there.
I would say Denver as him being a main option in the running game, as long as McGahee is there and he's healthy. Remember, Bush is going into his eighth year. When I say Denver, I'm talking about the passing game. I'm talking about the passing attack. Yes, he can run some, but Denver, they keep a couple of power plays in there, power run plays in there. They keep Travis draws in there, but mostly for the passing game. When I talk about Denver for Reggie Bush, because the guy is a receiver, basically.
Yeah. All right. Let me see what were you about to say. I'm sorry. Somebody was about to say something. All right. Let me put Steve back on here and see what he has to say.
Reggie Bush, he did pretty good that 2011 season. He eclipsed the 1,000-yard rushing mark. Who was offensive coordinator? Brian Daboll, I think, from I think that's who it was. He was trying to think of creative ways to use Reggie Bush. I mean, I'm a Dolphins fan, unfortunately, like the Bears too, but I mean, I watched the guy when he had an offensive coordinator try to use him correctly. But I think he'd probably be a better fit. Probably, I mean, I know somebody that's trying to push for him is old, but I don't know, man. He's weird. He's never been utilized. I mean, last season he only got $100 rushing one time, and he averaged like 84 yards. I don't know. Reggie Bush just needs to be in a team that, like you said, that's downhill, that can be power. Like, but the teams that he would go to, they really wouldn't have no use for him. Everybody's playing running backs. Maybe I guess Detroit. They the only ones that need a running back. You know, I say Detroit is where he's probably end up playing football next year.
Is Detroit a downhill running team though? I don't think they are.
Well, this is the thing about Detroit. Me personally, I think they just need to change the whole scheme of power run. That's what LeSure is. I get sick of him getting into this shotgun, this base zone all the time. It's ridiculous. But the Detroit has made it clear that LeSure is their back, but they want a Jahvid Best type running back. That's what they want this offseason.
You know, Reggie Bush could be that guy.
They want to pair that with LeSure, huh?
Well, maybe Reggie Bush could be that guy.
Maybe he could, but, I mean, it all comes down to what you're willing to pay Reggie Bush, you know, and where your needs are elsewhere. You know, the Lions have issues at defensive end. They got secondary issues. They need to shore up on the O-line. Maybe they need some work at wide receiver, but you know that's what
they do
want.
Need another receiver.
But well, I mean, it's just what are you willing to pay a guy going into his eighth year? Not willing to give him a LeSean McCoy type contract.
Yeah, because I was gonna say because you go always too. Y'all know you can always try to run it back in later rounds in the draft too. So you just think about that. That could be. Let's say it's Detroit, they could pay, you know, for other things in free agency and then take care of that matter in the draft. Like you said, they got LeSure and Jahvid Best. The only thing with Best, though, both of them guys are not so far shown they're not as durable. So that's the only thing, too, where you got, you know, question marks with those two.
Mike, is LeSure only tore his Achilles and missed 1 year? He came back this year and actually did well. Considering the circumstances.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, let's change the direction of the conversation here. Before we got one more topic here before we get into the Super Bowl predictions and the analysis. We'll talk about Jamarcus Russell. The New York Jets have reported that they are interested in getting Jamarcus Russell. Do you think this is a I mean, what do you think of the whole thing of him coming back to the NFL? Do you think it's a good idea for the Jets? Let me start with you, Tex.
Man, I'm not even commenting on that, man.
All right, man, let's go to Cali Mike, bro. Let's go to Cali Mike.
I'm reading a report right now that the New York Jets are interested in signing Shaquille O'Neal. as being their new offensive tackle. So, the Jets is a circus. If they find Jamarcus Russell, that is a circus.
Well, my thing
Jamarcus,
is, I mean, do you,
to show if he was serious and to show if this wasn't just about money, he should have started maybe like in semi-pro or Canada or somewhere and tried to work his way back to the NFL. He has to prove to people that he can even play in the first place because he never – it's not like he was somebody that's good and then started slacking up. He was somebody who never performed ever. I mean, he didn't show any – I mean, he made that – once they started running him out of the shotgun, okay, he had a couple of decent, you know, passes. But this is a guy that's never, you know, like I say, he has to show people – that he can play in the NFL. You know, not. It's not like he's making a comeback or anything. I wouldn't even call this a comeback. He needs to show people he can play in the league.
That's fair. That's fair. I'm just saying he was the number one overall pick, and then he never even got an opportunity to try out for another team. I mean, usually that never happens
because,
with the number one.
Like I said, it's because he was that bad. I mean, it's like I said, it wasn't. It's not like he got injured or something happened. He just stunk it up. And Cali Mike.
Yeah, yeah.
Like Cali Mike was saying, he's seen it, you know, all of he had issues, at, off the field issues, I think, hurt too, because, you know, with the drug, I mean, he had a drug problem and some other stuff, so I think that hurt him too.
He didn't have a drug problem.
I mean, yeah, he did.
Oh, yeah,
he was sipping on some syrup. That's all, yeah, that's
well,
that's
like, a, you know, when he first came, you know, a family member of mine works with the Raiders, and when he first came, you know, I was told that immediately, you know. Off bat, and I was like, wow. You know, like I said, before he even got to Oakland, they already knew about it. They were, you know, and they were going to try to stop it, and they couldn't.
You know, once you got all that money, you had a problem. You know how it is. It's a problem. But I was going to say, I mean, it's good he got an opportunity. I mean, he's getting a shot, but I kind of see what Mike is saying, but man, if they're going to give him a try, I would just say, well, you just get a guy a tryout, but don't give him no guaranteed contract and see, you know, more invite him to maybe training camp if we're interested, but I wouldn't, you know, of course, if they're going to sign, of course, they're going to sign to the minimum, but I would.
But I mean, like I said, from what I've heard, they said he just now got down to around 300 pounds.
Dang.
Just from my knee, he needs to be at least 260, 250 to be in playing shape.
No, that's his college weight, man. He ain't going to be able to play in 250, 260. He was more than that when he got to Oakland.
Case in point.
Yeah, he's not gonna get down to 260, man. You can forget that.
Yeah,
he'll
like
two.
Case in point.
Yeah.
Since they mentioned him, I'm surprised why the Jets ain't gonna look at Vince Young. I think Vince Young, you know, like I say, he wins. Anybody, you know, it's been controversy with him, though. But look at his record.
I'll start that Vince Young winning stuff again.
he won, though. Look at his record, though. If I was the Jets, I would give him a chance first before I would look at JaMarcus Russell.
Mike, they already tried that. It was called Tim Tebow. They tried that this year. It didn't work.
Oh, please. That is unfair to compare Tim Tebow and Vince Young. Tim Tebow and Tommy Frazier. You can compare those two.
Why can't I compare Vince Young and Tim Tebow? Why?
Because Vince Young has shown he can be somewhat of an accurate passer. He can throw the ball deep.
He has shown that
he has some level of accuracy. Tim Tebow has no accuracy. No, there's a difference between a 50% accuracy and a 10% accuracy. Vince Young could be like 50. Okay, whatever, man. Whatever. He's better than Tavares Jackson. Let's just put it that way, all right, Tex? Let's just put it that way.
I don't know what the heck.
Yeah, he is. Oh, please.
You're saying
Tavares Jackson is better than Vince Young?
Tavares Jackson, honestly, don't know.
Yeah, and he should be drug tested if you believe that, too. But anyway, Steve, you got something to say on this?
Ask Buffalo Bills on that Parzell. They didn't want to pick them over Vince Young.
I know, right? You see what happened with their coach. You see what happened to their coach, too. But anyway, let me
management, too. You
see how
management.
You got
fired for that, too. Yeah.
But let me, hold on. Steve, you got some comments on JaMarcus Russell?
Oh, man. But anyway, that guy, I mean, let's take a step back. I mean, he was probably the biggest person Ryan Lee, you know what I mean? But if you look at what he was surrounded with from 2008 to 2010, who did he have? I mean, Johnny Lee Higgins, Chaz Gillis, he even know who these guys are. Zach Miller wasn't even doing nothing. McFadden wasn't even what he is now. I mean, what can you really say? But imagine 300 pounds. I mean, he could be an offensive guy. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. I mean, I don't really think that story has any credibility. I think it's just somebody just threw something out in an article, and now everybody's buzzing. Or maybe his agent gave the Jets a call. Maybe he ran out of all his money, and now he wants to go in the NFL again. I mean, DeMarcus Russell, I wouldn't give that guy a real shot at anything right now. I mean, he's got to cut down all that weight. He's got to get in shape. I mean, if he put the scrap that he did have in college to work, I mean, maybe he could do something, but the league minimum, maybe. But he's got a long way to go before somebody really could take that man seriously as an NFL quarterback again.
Well,
I was gonna say, Steve. You said you were a Chicago Bear fan too.
Yeah.
Okay. There.
All right, let's get. We got about 25 minutes left in the show. Let's get into like the Super Bowl predictions. And I want you to tell me who you think is gonna win the Super Bowl and why. Let me start with Shot Town. What's your take on this? Who you think is gonna win and why?
Well, it's kind of a split. If you're a betting man in this Super Bowl, it's one of those Super Bowls I wouldn't bet on. My heart is saying, of course, the story, you know, knowing Ray Lewis being his last game is going with it. But the brain is going with, you know, the San Francisco 49ers. You know, I just think the key of the game is their offensive line. And they got a physical, power, young line. And I think they're going to get it to the Baltimore Ravens. And also the defense, you know, right now, Baltimore defense, of course, is good, but San Francisco's defense, too, they're younger, and, of course, they ready. And I just think it comes down to the offensive line. If they do their job, I think San Francisco's going to win. But the only question about San Francisco is the kicker. You know, and Baltimore got the edge on that, because let's say if it comes down to a field goal, and we've seen how David Akers has been kind of suspect. That's the only thing that's kind of, you know, if you're a 49er fan, you got to kind of worry about. Because it might come down to a field goal. So, I mean, it's going to be a heck of a Super Bowl, but that's what I'm kind of going with, those obstacles.
Okay. Tex, what's your take on it?
I think I'll probably go with the 49ers, although you have both teams with certain strengths on both sides of the ball. You have both teams matching up with each other in several of the spots on both sides of the ball. You have Vernon Davis matching up with the Raven backers, Advantage Davis. You got Ray Rice matching up against Navarro Bowman and Pat. I mean, dynamite matchups everywhere, me and everywhere. Ray Rice versus Pat Willis and Bowman, that's a wash. You have the Niners pass rush and what they do with their twists and stunts against pretty much an impenetrable Baltimore Ravens offensive line. And that's probably the key matchup right there is Baltimore's O-line, their pass protection versus the Niners secondary. The Niners defense up front. I think Baltimore might have as long in the passing game on the back end, they might have an advantage. Golson is a good safety, but he takes false steps. Can't take false steps this Sunday. He has to play the right technique. He has to be correct, or he's going to get burned. You know, Baltimore masters of that chunk yardage. With the 49ers, I think it's going to come down to Kaepernick, Crabtree, and Vernon Davis. I think Baltimore, I just their attitude, I don't know if the Niners will drill them in the run game, although the Niners O-line ain't too shabby. It's pretty good O-line, but like I said, it's great matchups everywhere. But I'll probably have to take the 49ers simply because I like Vernon Davis against the Ravens linebackers in coverage. I like that matchup a lot. I think that's the key matchup.
All right, Shot Town, let me get your take on this.
You mean Cali Mike?
I mean Cali Town, my bad. Cali Mike, what's your take on this?
Oh, we already know it's going to happen this game. 49ers Super Bowl champion. We're going to get a 24-17 game. It's going to come down to the last minute. Kaepernick, Randy Moss, touchdown, game over. Niners.
All right.
History in the making. I think, you know, I think they're both good teams. I just think the Niners are better than them. I think they're going to, I mean, I, you know, like, hopefully this can bring the spring forward for the Niners, bring back a, you know, bring back a dynasty where we can get, you know, maybe two or three more rings. So, you know, it's, you know, I'm excited. Let's do it.
I think the Niners, regardless of what happens, though, Niners, man, I think they got themselves a team that's going to be legit. And, you know, got a young talent on both sides for a team that could be up there on top for, like, the next 10 years. If they keep that team
together.
They
said the same thing about Green Bay a few years ago, so let's just put it that way. Steve.
And they still, they still competitive, though. Hey, like we said earlier, it's hard to get to the Super Bowl, though. You know, they still
Green Bay wasn't as complete as the Niners was either. Niners are a very complete team.
All right,
you know,
they do
that. Remember, they got in with some luck, you know, Niners, this thing, same thing how they came from last year. I mean, remember, this thing could have been in the Super Bowl last year, Clausville. The Giants, again, got a little luck again in San Francisco like they did in 90 and capitalized and got to the Super Bowl.
All right, let's go with Steve. Let's see what you got to say, Steve. What's your take on this?
Me personally, I'm going with the Ravens, man. It's mostly based on the veterans, the inspiration, everything that's been going on with that team. I mean, they surprised a lot of people on how they went through the playoffs. The 49ers, they look like they got it, but I just think, you know, the time that they have off and the preparations that is going to come across. I mean, Colin Kaepernick, he's a good guy. He only has 9 starts. I mean, I looked at that Atlanta Falcons game, and I don't even think the 49ers should have won that game. And, I mean, Torrey Smith and Anquan Boldin is going out there, and 49ers secondary looks kind of suspect because your boy, what's the dude from Atlanta, man? Julio Jones. He was, like, opening the whole game.
I know, man. Megatron Jones.
He was balling. Oh, come on, Clark.
I mean, that's wide open, Julio Jones, though, man. Come on, I mean.
It doesn't matter.
Is Torrey Smith really the equal to Julio Jones?
But that Roddy White was open, too. It don't matter. I'm looking at strictly offense right now. The 49ers are going to try to run. That's what they're going to do. You know that's what they're going to do. Frank Gore, he's a great running back. He's probably going to have more rushing yards than all of them out there. But at the same time, I just think the 49ers are going to give up too many big plays in their secondary. I'm sorry. I saw it when they played the Falcons, and the Ravens' offense is rolling right now. I mean, they are pretty much even on all sides of the ball. But I got to give the edge to the Ravens' offense. I'm sorry.
I think the Falcons, you know, passing offense is better than the Ravens, though. So I think the 49ers, I mean, you know, I think they're going to play a lot better than they on defense, how they played against the Falcons. And also, I still think Matt Ryan, you know, Flacco's giving what I gave him respect. Like I was saying earlier, I don't think Flacco's a better quarterback than Ryan. I think Ryan is a better quarterback than Flacco. But I think Kaepernick kind of struggled. I get what you're saying because I was saying maybe that could have been a factor, but, I mean, I thought about what he did in New England coming to Foxborough on the road in a big prime time game and how he handled it. He did it. He got it going, and he struggled a little in the NFC Championship early, but he got it going. I don't think the pressure fazed him. I think he's going to play well in the Super Bowl. And if he doesn't, it'd be definitely a shock to everybody, you know, like, man, you know, but.
And as I remember, I kind of remember Steve being a bit of a Niner hater, too. So I think I have to factor that into his analysis as well.
All right, hey,
I just remember him hating on the Niners back in the day. I swear I do, so I kind of have to add that in there.
Hey, Steve, let me put your hold real quick. I got James here. I know James is going to say something about me in this Megatron Jr. remark, but anyway, what's up, James?
Come on, man. You're your son. Oh, man, I can't believe this.
Why not, James?
Man, I still don't put Julio Jones as like one of the top five receivers, you know, in the NFL right now. As far as like the overall talent. I mean, I've got.
I put him number five.
As much as I hate to say this, I wasn't gonna say it, but if you go to NFL.com right now, there's an article that says Julio Jones is better than Dalvin Gardner.
I ain't gonna go that far. I don't think he's better than AJ Green.
Gilbrand is saying that Julio Jones is the best wide receiver in football, right?
I'm recording that right now, looking at that. Mike, what do you say this?
It's on NFL.com. It's go to Gilbrand on NFL.com.
Is that right now? I'm on that site right now looking at it.
Yeah, I posted earlier in the season
that Roddy White was pretty much the leading receiver on the Falcons team and pretty much ended up as leading receiver on the team over Julio Jones. Who showed up in the playoffs, though, man?
That's all I'm just saying. Who showed up, man? It's time to count, though.
You were talking about when the Falcons lost, you said, man, they should win to Julio Jones on that play. Come on, man. They should have. I'm dead serious.
I'm dead serious.
I give a call. Julio was balling in the NFC Championship. I give him that, though.
He showed that he was the number one receiver. That can't be denied, man.
Who are you going to take? Julio Jones or AJ Green?
Right now, I take AJ Green. I put Julio Jones in my top five. I have AJ Green above Julio Jones right now. But I'm saying when the career is all said and done, I think Julio Jones will be better than AJ Green when the career is over and done.
They're both the same age. They're both in the same year. How do you figure that?
I think AJ Green was a little bit more polished when he came in the league. Julio was more of a raw talent, and I think because think about it, Julio came from, you know, a running offense at Alabama. He really wasn't able to showcase his talents at Alabama, whereas A.J. Green had, you know, Matthew Stafford. You know, I mean, he had a better quarterback. So I think Julio's beginning and slowly and surely figuring it out, and he's already a Pro Bowler in his second year in the league. So, I mean, I'm just saying, I think Julio is going to be a better receiver. He's going to be Megatron Jr. He's going to be Megatron Jr.
I think we can all agree that Julio Jones is not deserve to make the Pro Bowl this year.
I think he did.
Yeah, I mean,
there's some arguments. I can't argue against Dez Bryant. I can't argue against Roddy White. Julio Jones deserves to be in the Pro Bowl, though. I think he does.
How do you figure that if these guys have better stats than that?
But I think he's just as good as those players. I think he's just as good as a Dez Bryant or Roddy White. I think he's a little bit better than Roddy White. I think Roddy White is the Chris Carter and Julio is the Moss. Roddy White's more experienced. Who was that laughing down? The bite, Kelly White?
Yeah.
And my analogy of Moss and Carter and Julio and Roddy White, whatever.
I see it right now.
Who's that laughing like that, man? Who was that laughing like that? I want to know who that was. Kelly Mike?
Hey, that's me, man.
That was James. I mean, I can understand why he was laughing like that. I can get it, but I'm just saying, I watched Julio Jones a lot this year. I think he deserved to be in the Pro Bowl. I think he was a very good receiver this year. And I think he would even be better than he was this year, next year. So that's the thing. I didn't want to interrupt you, James.
I see the article. It says Julio Jones is better than Calvin Johnson by Gilbrand.
No, I won't go that far. I didn't go that far. I didn't go there. But I think Julio will eventually emerge as a top three. It'll be like a Moss and Owens type of thing, Calvin or Julio, because Andre Johnson is kind of, well, I don't know. He's beginning to crack a little bit. So Calvin Johnson's entering his prime. Andre Johnson's sort of leaving his prime. A.J. Green's ascending. Julio's ascending. So it's going to be kind of one of those top three conversations right there. It'll be Calvin Johnson, Julio, and A.J. Green. He'll be out of those three.
All right, let me get to the Super Bowl.
Just had a 1,400-yard season, too.
I'm sorry. I didn't hear you, man. I didn't even hear you.
Yeah,
Texas.
You did. No,
I didn't. I'm serious.
1,400-yard season.
You said Calvin Johnson?
Andre Johnson? Yeah.
Yeah, like I said, he had a good season, but you can see at the beginning of the year he was cracking a little bit. He was hurt.
Okay, but if this is a down year and he had 1,400 yards, that means he's better than Julio Jones. You know that, right?
Yeah, I still put Andre Johnson above Julio Jones right now. I never said Julio Jones. Hold on, let me finish this. I'm going to let you talk, James, in a second. James, hold on. I'm going to let you say something in a second. Hold on. I'm not saying that Julio Jones is better than Andre Johnson right now. I never said that. You know, I
name
said.
Your top five receivers.
You said Johnson,
right now?
You said Johnson is ascending, though. That's what you did. You said that, though.
Yeah, that's why I said he's ascending right now. He's a number five. I put him number five in the league. I put him number five. I put Calvin Johnson. I put Calvin Johnson number one. I put AJ Green number two. I put Andre Johnson probably in that number three category. Probably Larry Fitzgerald number four and Julio number five.
All right, James.
Hey James, what you got to say, James? I don't want to.
No, real quick on the Baltimore San Francisco game. I mean, I said last week that I'm favoring Baltimore. I think it's more about the whole, you know, game experience and playoff experience thing. When you have somebody like Kaepernick leading your team in a Super Bowl or in a game as big as this, I don't know if it's gonna affect them. It'll probably affect them sooner rather than later. So I think that San Francisco's gonna have a slow start to the game. Just like in the NFC Championship game, but I don't think that San Francisco is going to be able to respond to this like they did a couple weeks ago.
All right.
But James, what about Joe Flacco, though? I mean, you know, a lot of lines to him because could this be his last game as a Baltimore Ravens since, you know, he's a free agent and, you know, he's trying to cash in. That could be a lot of pressure on him. I mean, he finally got to this point.
I doubt that he'll have, you know, as much pressure on him compared to Colin Kaepernick, especially when, you know, they have, you know, the likes of Anquan Boldin as the receiver, got Ray Rice, a reliable running back, and the offensive line. I kind of like buy their offensive line in comparison to San Francisco's right now at this moment. But I'd say, like, it's going to be a close game, but I really favor the Ravens in this one.
I kind of disagree. I think the Niners got a better O-line than the Ravens, and I think they got a better skill set players than the Ravens. You know, none against Anquan Boldin, got love for him, but he's not Michael Crabtree, and you got Randy Moss, and you got Vernon Davis. That right there. And I just think that I kind of, to a extent, they both feeling pressure. They, you know, at the stake, because one of them is going to be a Super Bowl champion by anything of them getting hurt, you know, coming out as a quarterback. But I just think Michael may have a little bit more knowing that he's saying that he's going to be paid like Peyton Manning. So he knows he's going to have to play well or great beyond, you know, the win. Because as I said, if they lose, you know, he might lose some millions. You know, he just lost to the Super Bowl. And, you know, it's not guaranteed that they might even get back to the Super Bowl next year, which I think San Francisco, even if they don't lose, if they lose, I still think they'll probably be a favorite again next year because they have a younger team. Where Baltimore is, you know, got older players like Ray Lewis and Ed Reed. Also, too, for Joe Flacco to win this one for Ray Lewis, knowing that this is his last game. I mean, that's going to be some pressure right there.
Probably more for Joe Flacco than Ray Lewis. I think Ray Lewis is just still going to be, you know, Ray Lewis, he's probably going to have like 5 unassisted tackles, maybe 10, but as far as like Flacco is concerned, he might have some hitters, but I just think that he'll be able to overcome, you know, the whole Super Bowl atmosphere better than Colin Kaepernick and that squad. So we'll agree to disagree on that one. So we'll see come Sunday.
I was going to add about the Andre Johnson thing, Clausell. Also, he's doing it with two and not even having a legit two receiver. And Owen Daniels did miss some games, and he still was balling, where Julio Jones got a Hall of Famer and Tony Gonzalez, and he got Roddy White. So, come on, man.
I'm just saying, hey, I'm going to go by the eye test. Well,
Calvin Johnson,
Juju,
dog.
Yep, Megatron Jr.
And
but
And Andre Johnson's the one option. Where Roddy White, I'm not Roddy White. Julio Jones is not even the first option. So I mean, that takes pressure off of him right there.
All right. Well, we're about to wind it down, man. It's only like 30 seconds left in the show, so we're gonna have our final show of the season next week. Definitely, and after next week's show, we're gonna take a break for a few months and then have our NFL draft analysis. We'll have like 2-3 weeks of NFL draft analysis, and then we will be posting on Facebook, Twitter, anything, any other social media, you know, to give us or give you all our opinions. But we will be here next week for our final show of the season. CMT Firestorm, our show tonight will be on Facebook, on Twitter, etc. So y'all have a good week. Peace out.
Megatron Jr., dog.
Enjoy the Super Bowl, y'all. Who's going to be the Super Bowl champion? Will it be the Niners or the Raiders?
Soul Timers, do you remember the names like Bronco Nagurski and Nitrate Lane?